So there once was a large dog who walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. And he goes up to the counter of the meat case and he puts down his purse. And the butcher says, "What is it, boy?" He jokingly asks, "Do you want to buy some meat?" And the dog barks, "Woof!" "Hmm," says the butcher. "What kind of meat? We got liver, we got bacon, we got steak." "Woof!" he interrupted. "Okay, how much steak?" "We got a half a pound, a pound." "Woof!" the dog interrupts again. So the butcher, very amazed, wraps up the meat. So he got a pound of steak, and he puts it into a bag, gives it to the dog, and then he finds just enough money inside of the dog's purse. And then the dog begins to walk out of the store. So very curious, the butcher decides to follow the dog and see where he would go. So the dog enters an apartment house, climbs up to the third floor, and then starts scratching at someone's door. And with that, the door suddenly swings open, and then a man comes out very angrily saying, "What are you doing?" And then like starts yelling at the dog very menacingly. And then the butcher said, "Stop! Why are you yelling at this dog? He is one of the most intelligent animals that I have ever seen." "Intelligent?" the man asked. "This is the third time this week he has forgotten to bring the house key." So you see, this man, or this owner of a very intelligent dog, wasn't very thankful for the dog that he had. Now, this past week was Thanksgiving, and I want to welcome back to some of the college students who were visiting family for this week, and we also pray for all of our other college students who will be coming back to the Albany area later today. We pray for a safe trip for them. And I hope that you all had a great Thanksgiving, spending time with your friends and family. And Thanksgiving is just about having time off of work, having time off of school, eating lots of food, and maybe with Black Friday and getting a lot of good deals. But of course, it is a time for us to dwell upon and think upon what God has done for us, how he has blessed us, and to give thanks to him. But many times, just like this owner who has an intelligent dog, just like he can be very ungrateful or very unthankful for what he has, we can also, at times, feel very unthankful, even expressing whatever God has done for us in our lives. So the question that we want to ask is, why should we always be thankful? And if we are always thankful, what does that look like in our lives? So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we're going to look at scripture from God's word to see how we should always be thankful. Luke chapter 17, we're going to be reading from verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, please follow along as I read. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that being Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we have another Sunday to come together to worship you in your house. And Lord, thank you that we had this whole season of Thanksgiving. We had time for rest, time off of work, time off of school. And I pray that you would continue to teach us to how to have a thankful heart, no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is, no matter what circumstances that we go through, and how we should always be giving thanks to you and to you alone. Because after all, you have given us everything that we have ever owned. You have given us this life that we live, and you have given us salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have a lot of reasons to give thanks to you for. But I know that a lot of us, and even for me a lot of times, we can be very ungrateful, be very not thanking you, Lord. Father, I pray that you teach us through this passage with Jesus and how he has healed these 10 lepers. And may this lesson that you teach us continue to be a seed that is planted in our hearts, that bears fruit, that grows, so that we will be thankful for the rest of our lives. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, we're going to be answering two questions. So our first question is this: what should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? What should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? And we'll see two reminders to answer this question. And then the second question that we'll ask is this: what should true thanksgiving lead us to do? So there are times when we're thankful, and then there is that true thanksgiving. So if we're experiencing true thanksgiving, what should that look like? What should that lead us to do? So once again, the two questions. Number one, what should remind us to consistently be thankful towards God? And there's going to be two reminders for that. And then second question, what should true thanksgiving lead us to do? So we'll be going through these two questions as we go through this passage. So in this passage, we see Jesus walking along a highway. It's a very busy highway. Many people traveled along this road. It was an important trade route, and like there's a lot of people that are walking through this road. So he was going towards Jerusalem, and as he was passing by Samaria and Galilee, there were 10 lepers from a distance that began calling out to him. Now, what are lepers? No, lepers aren't the animals, not the leopards. Lepers were basically people with a skin disease called leprosy. And this skin disease, it makes their skin like cause like discoloration, have all these different rashes on it. And whether or not they were really contagious, people kept their distance from them. They, especially the Jews, they wanted to avoid these lepers. And for religious reasons, they didn't want to get close to them because if they did touch them or get close to them anyway, they would be ceremonially unclean. And some Jews even thought that leprosy was a punishment for them for a particular sin that they had committed. So they were regarded as being like already dead, because at this time there was no cure for leprosy. They were seen as people without hope. You don't want to associate with them, you just want to leave them alone. And so as a result, these lepers were seen as social outcasts. They were abandoned by their families, they cannot go to the temple, they cannot get a job, so they had to resort to begging on the streets for food and for money. And they were basically put in quarantine for the rest of your life. I know a lot of times we can feel very lonely, just when, let's say, all of our friends are hanging out and doing something on our own, and we just felt alone. Imagine that, but like times infinity, because for you at that moment, you're only a social outcast for maybe just a short period of time. But these lepers, they were socially outcasted for the rest of their lives, and people had this like taboo against them. They can't even get close to them. So you can imagine the pain and the hurts that these lepers would feel. And so the only type of companionship that they can have is with other lepers who are also socially outcasted. So they spend time with other lepers in these groups and basically to share their miserable lives with one another. So it's kind of a sad life for these lepers. So you see a group of 10 lepers together spending, hanging out, and then they see Jesus walking past. And when they saw Jesus, they shouted out at him. They're like, "Jesus, Lord, Master, have mercy on us." So the question that we want to ask is like, how did these lepers know about who Jesus is? How did they recognize Jesus in the first place? I mean, back then, there was no internet at all. I mean, there wasn't any newspapers like a Jerusalem Daily that would have reported about Jesus and his miracles and how he healed people, if that newspaper existed back then. There was no Facebook, there's no Snapchat, no Instagram for them to see what their friends had posted, even if they have any friends back then, about like what they saw Jesus do in terms of the miracles and how he healed people. So, you know, back then, before there was this form of communication through the internet, news was spread basically by word of mouth. And this news that was spread by word of mouth is usually very, very slow, because it takes one person to tell another person, who tells another person, and maybe they'll travel to a different place to tell another person. So news usually spread pretty slowly. But in this case, when the news about Jesus, who claims to be God, who claims to be Messiah, and he showed that through performing these miracles, this news was something that was really amazing. This is something that was great. So even though it was passed on by word of mouth, the news spread about Jesus all around the city and throughout all different regions very quickly. So this was pretty unique. And maybe someone took the nerve to come even close to these lepers and say, hey, there's a man called Jesus. If you would recognize him when you would see him, because he would always have these big crowds of disciples following him. And you know, he has done all these great miracles. He has healed people. He has casted out demons. And maybe if you see him, maybe if you call out to him, then he could probably heal you as well. So these lepers, without even having seen Jesus at all, only through hearing of the news of what Jesus did and how he claimed to be the Son of God, they had a hope. They put their faith into Jesus Christ, even without seeing him, even without having personally witnessing Jesus perform this miracle. So they had a level of faith. So when they saw Jesus passing by, they called out, Jesus, Master. You know, this term master is the same word that Peter called Jesus, which means chief and commander. So once again, this emphasizes the fact that these lepers had a level of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and having the ability to be able to heal them from their sickness and from their disease. So they properly identified Jesus. They called out to Jesus and they asked him to have mercy on him. They asked Jesus to have mercy on him because no one else would show this type of mercy to them. These 10 lepers, being social outcasts, no one wanted to be associated with them at all. So let us answer our first question here. What should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? Here is the first reminder. We should be reminded that we are saved by God's mercy and not by our worthiness. We are saved by God's mercy and not by our own worthiness. So us today, we don't have leprosy. We don't have this disease. But I think we can agree that we may have a spiritual leprosy. And this spiritual leprosy is called sin. Now, we don't deserve to even be in the presence of a holy, pure, and righteous God. And we should stand a far away distance from him. But you see, just as Jesus Christ showed mercy to these lepers by healing them and coming even close to them, God at the same time also shows us mercy to sinners like us. And we can find salvation by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. It is not anything that we can do that makes us worthy or even deserving to be healed or to be saved, but it is by God's grace and by God's mercy. So the application for us today is that every single day of our lives, we should always remind ourselves about God's mercy for us. As we spend time with God daily in the Word, as we observe communion, as we celebrate certain holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, we should be dwelling upon God's mercy every single day. Because when we do this and be reminded by how pure, holy, and righteous God is, and how much of a sinner that we are, and how he would extend his grace and mercy to even associate with us, to provide us with salvation, to heal us of our sin and our sicknesses, then this should cause us to be consistently thankful to him every day. How could someone not knowing, not experiencing the great mercy that God has shown for us, not show thankfulness, not show gratefulness back to God? So in order for us to be consistently thankful to God every day, we need to remind ourselves about God's mercy for us. And it has nothing to do with our own worthiness. So as we continue on, there's a second reminder that we should also dwell upon to help us to have this heart of thanksgiving every day to God. So once again, we pick up in this story with these 10 lepers calling out to Jesus, "Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus comes over to them, and what does Jesus do? He gives them a commandment. And what did Jesus say? He told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, some of these lepers may be a little bit confused because the stories that they heard of how Jesus healed was different from what Jesus is doing right now. Because the Jesus that they know is the Jesus is the God who would reach out their hand, his hand, touch them, and proclaim that they were healed. And he would heal them right there, right on the spot. But here, Jesus isn't doing any of that. He just gave them a commandment to go and see the priest. And there are different responses that these lepers could have had. So first, they could have decided not to go and see these priests and be like, "Oh, maybe it's just a farce. Like, maybe all these stories about Jesus being God and healing people wasn't really true." Because, you know, here we see Jesus, so this person that claims to be Jesus, and he didn't heal us. He's just telling us to go see the priest. So they could have just doubted God. They could have doubted him and just not went to go see the priest. Or they could have just asked Jesus to heal them again. Or maybe Jesus didn't understand what we're really asking for. I know, like, we just said to have mercy on us. We didn't explicitly tell him to heal us of our leprosy. Maybe we should ask again. So they could have responded that way as well. But you see, this isn't what the lepers actually did. Instead, they faithfully obeyed Jesus and they started going to the temple to go see the priest. And in order to do that, there had to be a level of faith. There had to be a level of trust in him. So while the lepers were, I guess you can say they cared more about their physical healing, Jesus actually saw something that they needed even greater. Jesus saw that they had the greater need of spiritual healing through faith in him. You see, if Jesus, just like how he healed other people before, just extended his hand and touched them and declared them to be clean and healed from their leprosy, they would have just went off just like that, and they would have just accepted that, and they didn't need to have that much faith. But you see, by Jesus telling them to go and see the priest, it was a level of trust, it was a level of test, and the lepers, you know, they had to have their faith increased by obeying Jesus' command to go and see see the priest. So Jesus did this to increase their faith. He saw a greater need, which was their spiritual healing, whereas for them, on their perspective, they only wanted a physical healing. So let's answer the first question again. What should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? So the second reminder is this. God always provides us with what he knows we need the most. God always provides us with what he knows what we need the most. See, to trust God that God will provide for us is a trust in the promise in his word. And these lepers, once again, had to learn that as they chose to obey Jesus' command to go and see the priest. And we should also be thankful that God knows us better than we even know ourselves. He will always provide what is best for us and what we need the most. You know, sometimes we would go and we would pray and ask God for something. You know, God, I really want to get into this school. Or God, I really want to have this good grade on this test. But then, even as we pray very fervently and ask for God, sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for. And this is where our faith becomes tested. Is God really who he says he is? Does God even listen to my prayer? And we have this type of expectation that God will always answer our prayers in exactly the way that we asked him for. But there are different ways that there are different meanings that this could mean, actually. First, it can mean that God may have something better that's planned for you. Or it can mean that God is protecting you from something that you want that may actually not be very good for you. Or it can mean that God is using this situation to increase your faith in him, just as he used the situation to increase the faith of the 10 lepers. So there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 that says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So we can be consistently thankful towards God and trusting that he will always provide for us and knowing that he knows what is the best thing that is for us. So we had answered the question, what should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? And from the first point, the first thing that we need to be reminded is that we are saved by God's mercy, and it is not by our worthiness that we are saved. And the second point that we learned here, the second thing that we need to be reminded about is that God always provides us with what he knows we need the most. These two things, if we constantly remind ourselves about, should always lead us into constant thanksgiving towards God every single day. So remember these two things and constantly dwell upon them. So this brings us to our third question then. What should true thanksgiving lead us to do? If we are truly dwelling upon these two aspects and these two reminders, which should lead us into having daily thanksgiving towards God, what indicator should there be to show that we really have true thanksgiving in our heart? I mean, a lot of times we can say, we're thankful for this, we're thankful for that, but it's just a saying. It is just a feeling. But thanksgiving is more than just saying it. Thanksgiving is more than just this feeling that we have inside. So the question is, what should true thanksgiving lead us to do? Let's return back to our narrative, to our story. So Jesus commanded these 10 lepers to go to the temple, to go see the priest. Now, in the Levitical law, they were told that when you go and see the priest, you only do that when your leprosy has already been healed. And it's only the priest that can be able to declare that they are clean. And once they're declared that they're clean, they can be able to return back into society and be accepted. And then their whole miserable lives would be turned around again. So when Jesus had told them to go and see the priest, there's an implication there that Jesus was going to heal them, or that by the time that they got to the priest, that they will be healed. So that's why in faithful obedience, these 10 lepers started heading towards the temple to go see the priest. And as they were going, they started looking down at their hands. And they're saying, look what's happening. My hands, they're turning, the skin is turning back into its normal coloring. All the marks, all the scars are disappearing. Same thing with my legs. I can be able to feel my muscles moving pretty well again. And they started jumping with joy and hugging each other and shouting. And all the people around them were wondering, hey, aren't these the 10 lepers that we always see when we're walking by along this road? Oh, we see that, their skin is healed. They're being, they're, they're being healed of their leprosy. So you can imagine how happy that these lepers can be able to feel. But then there was one of these lepers, I guess now he's healed, so we shouldn't call them lepers anymore, but one of them said to the other nine, they're like, hey, this is a great thing that's happened to us. You know what? We should go back and thank Jesus for healing us. But then what did the other nine say? They'll say, no, we need to go quickly and see the priest at the temple as soon as possible, because the quicker that the priest declares us as clean, the quicker that we can return to our families, the quicker that we can be accepted back into society. We don't have time to go back and thank Jesus. That would be a detour. That would be out of our way. So these nine decided not to turn back and thank Jesus, and they just continued on towards the temple to see the priest. So this one man who wanted to turn back said, well, it's been good hanging out with you guys in all these years in misery, and it is good to have this companionship with you all these years, because, you know, we are social outcasts. But now that our lives are changed, I'm going to go back and I'm going to thank Jesus. You all can go on ahead. So out of the 10 lepers who were healed, one of them decided to go back to thank Jesus. And what did he do? He ran back towards Jesus. He fell down at Jesus' feet, and he started praising God and thanking Jesus. And this is a sign of humbleness. This is a sign of, like, by prostrating himself before Jesus' feet, he was fully submitting himself to God and worshiping God. And Jesus asked him, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Did I do my math right? I thought I healed 10 people. Why is there only one that came back to say thanks? Was there no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? For this man who had came back was a Samaritan. So for all of the 10 lepers that were healed, I would say that all of them were actually thankful. All of them were grateful. Yes, I have no doubt about that. But you see, feeling thankful is different than expressing thankfulness. The one man who went back to Jesus thanked him by bowing before Jesus' feet and praising God. So he responded, and how he expressed his thankfulness was by worshiping God. Let's answer our second question. What should true thanksgiving lead us to do? True thanksgiving should lead us to worship God. True thanksgiving should lead us to worship God. I'm sure all of us, we're thankful to God for who he is and what he has done in our lives, especially for sending Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. But let us move beyond just the mere feelings of thanksgiving and move beyond just saying that we are thankful, especially during this Thanksgiving season. And let us not be like the 9 lepers who just had the feeling of thanksgiving and just continued to go and see the priest rather than turn back to thank Jesus and worship him. We should express thankfulness in worship even when it may seem like things aren't necessarily going our way, or even when it seems like it takes more of our time, more of our energy, more of our schedule. In fact, worship should be a part of our own schedule and should be a part of our lives so naturally that isn't something that it seems like a chore anymore. It should become natural. Every day when we wake up from bed, we should praise God and thank God. No, dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've created. Thank you that I have another day to live. Thank you that you have given me this life and given me eternal life through your faith in Jesus Christ. And say short prayers throughout the whole day. Worship God in the way that you work. Worship God in the way that you study and as you are in school. Once again, thanksgiving isn't just merely a feeling that is in your heart. Thanksgiving is more than that. It is an action. It is an act of worship throughout your whole life. So if we want to have consistent and constant thanksgiving towards God for the rest of our life, then it must mean that we are to be in constant worship of God. Can we be in constant worship of God? We don't just worship God here on Sundays, and we don't just worship God by singing songs. Every single thing that we do in this life is a form of worshiping Him and a form of giving thanks. Let us review everything that we've learned in this passage today. So once again, we have answered two questions about this passage. Our first question is, what should remind us to be consistently thankful towards God? And there are two reminders. So first, we should be reminded that we are saved by God's mercy, and it's not by our own worthiness. Nothing about what we do, nothing because we are sinful. We don't even deserve to be in the presence of a pure, holy, and righteous God. But by God's mercy, He still decides to reach out to us and provide us with a way of salvation. Constantly reminding us about God's mercy should lead us into constant thanksgiving. And the second thing that we should be reminded about is that God will always provide us with what He knows we need the most, with what God thinks is best for us in our lives. A lot of times when we think that we know what is best for us and we ask for certain things, but no matter what, God will always give us the best because He loves and He cares for us. So constantly reminding us about not only God's mercy, but also by how He would always provide for us what we need, should also lead us into constant thanksgiving towards God. And finally, our second question, what should true thanksgiving lead us to do? What should true thanksgiving look like if we are constantly reminding ourselves about these things and constantly truly giving thanks to God? And we said that true thanksgiving should lead us into the worship of God. True thanksgiving should lead us into the worship of God. So through what we learned today, we should always have reason to be thankful towards God if we remind ourselves, not just during this Thanksgiving period, but all throughout our lives, every single day of the year. Being thankful, once again, it's not just merely a good feeling, but it's an action that should lead us to worship God. And I guess I want to ask, will we remember to bow at Jesus' feet and praise God just like the one man who, after he was healed of his leprosy, decided to turn back and come back to Jesus to worship and praise Him? Let us use that as an example for each and every one of us. Whenever we feel blessed, whenever we feel that we can be thankful for something that God has provided for us, or something great that God has done in our lives, think about the man, and let's turn around, turn back towards Jesus, bow down before Him, and worship Him. Because worship is a sign of true thanksgiving in our hearts. Now let us continue our time of worship with prayer, and also with worship and song. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You full of praise and full of thanks in our hearts, especially for the word that You have given to us this morning. Lord, maybe in the past we have viewed Thanksgiving as just a season that just comes and goes, something that happens every year, something that we just see as a day off from school or from work and just to eat a lot of good food. But Lord, it is more than that. It is a time where we can fully focus and be reminded by how we should be in constant thanksgiving towards You. We know that we have a lot to be thankful for. We thank You for giving us this life that we live in. We thank You for our friends and our family. We thank You for how You have grown this church. Thank You for how You have healed us and healed maybe some sicknesses in our family members. And most of all, we're thankful for how You love us so much that You send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ alone that we can be saved. Lord, I pray that You would work into our hearts. Maybe there are some of us who are just visiting in this church today, and maybe we're in church for the first time, hearing about Christianity, and Lord, we're wondering whether You are truly the true and living God. We wonder whether You are really who You say You are. And if there are Christians today, especially in this church, who can turn and give thanks to You and to worship You, and people who are willing to dedicate their whole lives to You, then maybe there's something about this Jesus Christ that is real, that is true. Maybe he is the Son of God, and maybe he can provide us salvation. And I personally do believe that he can do this. And Lord, for this, we can always be thankful in all of our lives, even as we seek to worship and praise him every day. Father, we thank you, and we lift up all these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.